Yo, hello, hello everybody, hello world, hello Arsenal fans alike. Welcome to episode 15 of SFG Podcast. I'm your humble, gracious host, Lion Zion 4, aka M Lion Zion 4, BKA Zion Lion 4. CKA, I think that's commonly known as, which I'm not commonly known as anybody or anything except for Lion Zion 4. I'm with my humble, gracious co-host, Coach Sick, aka the Scruffy One himself, BKA Sikani Buzzin. Mr. Sick, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. I see we're back with the BKAs, with the names.
CKAs,
yeah, with
CK,
yeah.
BK, LK, SK level.
Hey.
I don't know why we're in such a good mood.
I was gonna say. you took the words right out of my mouth. I was like, I don't know why we're so happy, but it's just a good day, man. Yeah, I don't know why.
Shining. We are on our eleventh league defeat. In the league. And I think at this point, I can't tell you the last time we've had 11 league defeats in the Premier League by February. So, I mean, we're under 500 as a club right now. We're 10 and 11.
Yikes.
So, our goal differential is 5.
Yikes.
So,
yikes. That.
And the Mandem just don't really. I mean, okay, with that being said, all the numbers are out, the figures out the way. If you told me that we would be 10 and 11, 4 ties, 31 goals for, 26 goals against. Matter of fact, you told me you had 26 goals against by February, I'd be happy with that. I think that's like one of the lowest in the top 10 I think it's one of the lowest in the Prem. I think just looking at the table right now, Chelsea's at 25, surprisingly. City's at 15, which is ridiculous, but I mean, I've been kind of saying that their back line has had a resurgence of late, but 15 goals against and 54 is pretty ridiculous. Leicester City's at 27, which is actually less than us. So I think outside of City being first, Man City at 15, and Chelsea being second at 25, we're tied with Villa at 26 each. So we're third lowest in goals against. Now, that may be speaking to us defending as a team, because I don't think our back line's been amazing. I think a lot of people will see that and say, well, look, we're only scoring 31 goals, which is terrible, which means our attack is, complete shite, and our defense has been holding it down, and I don't think that's what it is at all. I think we defend with 11 players. I think that's the reason why our 26 goals against has been so well. I think our forwards do plenty defending. I think our midfield is all defense and no attack. And when you depend on two players in Saka and Lacazette to carry the brunt of your goal scoring, you're going to have 31 goals in a season. So, but either way, I digress. Glad everybody's doing well. I hope everyone's doing well out there that's listening. This is our 15th episode, another little milestone there. And when we last left off, we previewed Benfica and City. And I think I had 2-2 draw. I think you had 1-0 win. So yours was almost correct. It's just flipped. 1-0 away. And I guess... So today, we have on the docket is, we're going to review the Man City game, review the Benfica game last week, which was a 1-1 draw, and tomorrow, we will be playing Benfica in the second leg, so we will be previewing that, and then on the weekend, we have a huge game against Leicester City. Leicester, who is on 49 points, tied from Manchester United for second place. They're currently in third by goal differential, and we are at 34 points. Only 6 points back from sixth place. Which isn't that bad. I mean, considering the odds were 2 points back behind Tottenham. I would rather be ahead of Tottenham. Just end if you could tell me, would you rather be sixth place or be eighth and ahead of Tottenham? I'd be eighth and ahead of Tottenham, to be perfectly honest with you. That's where I'm at. I don't think the market share of money is that big between sixth and eighth. I mean, really, the Europa League spot's at fifth, and we're Chelsea sitting healthy at 43 points. So we're 9 points behind that, which can, I mean, look, we have a lot of games left to play, right? So anything, and this year has been crazy. So, I mean, anything could happen. Yeah, man, I think people have said, you know, the year has been so poor because of so many good teams. I disagree. I think this has been a great year. I think the parity has been really well. I think people assume that just because the big teams aren't performing, that the season has been poor, and I completely disagree. I think when you have small teams performing the way they had, remember when Southampton was performing really well and they were pushing for a Europa League spot a couple months back, and now they're 14th, because I think that speaks to the competitiveness of the Premier League and how difficult it is to sustain good form. And I think when you have so many good teams, when you have a Burnley team that's 15th, that's very hard to beat, when you that has 30 goals against, and you have a Fulham team that's that's sitting in relegation with only 32 goals against. And I don't say only, but, you know, there's plenty of teams that are worse. You know what I mean? Everton, that's in seventh, has 33 goals against. Liverpool, that won the league last year, has 34 goals against. So, I mean, if you really look at it, this season has been topsy-turvy, but it just speaks to the competitiveness of the Premier League. And I don't think it's going to be... I don't think parity is going to be restored, you know, once fans come back. I think that's the common misconception people make, that, oh, you know, the fans are a big reason why, or the stadium's a big reason why this is happening, and COVID. I disagree wholeheartedly. I think it has an effect, yes, but I don't want to say West Ham's in fourth place because there's no fans, right? I think West Ham's in fourth place because they're playing good football. I think Leicester's in third place because they're playing good football. I think Liverpool's in sixth place because they're not playing good football, not because there's no fans at Anfield, right? I think they're in sixth place because of injuries, probably, more than likely. But, you know, I think games are still exciting. I think this is exciting times in the Premier League because it gives a chance for these mid-table clubs to finally make that jump, and seeing the top 10. I think the top 10 or the top half of the Premier League are all teams that could be in Europe, definitely. I think Everton has a squad that's capable of being in Europe. I think Spurs went to Champions League final, what, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And they're sitting in ninth right now. I mean,
Three years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. They're sitting in ninth place right now. How many teams can say that they've been in the Champions League final the last 2 years? And are sitting in ninth place in their domestic league because of how difficult the league is, right? So, I mean, again, much to discuss. But let's go to the Man City game that happened on Sunday, this past Sunday. We lost 1-0 to a Pep Guardiola side with no registered striker in the starting 11, which is
crazy.
I guess it's the new normal though now, right? It's the new normal.
Both of their strikers are injured. Well, they're not injured, no, but they're coming off injury. Yeah. They're coming off injuries. Yeah.
Well, Gabriel was fit. He could have played. I think he just hasn't been playing because I think Pep favors a false nine.
I also think Gabriel is going to be gone by the end of this.
You think he leaves?
But yeah. Well, I don't. I mean, I
or think, you think they sell him.
Yeah, I think they sell him.
It'd be a lot of money. He's 24.
Yeah, 25, I mean, maybe. They can get like a good 30, 40 for him.
Yeah,
he hasn't.
It could be more.
He hasn't really been performing like that to get that much more. That's why I say 30, 40. I mean, if a team comes in and spends 50 for him, that's good for City, but
I think his record, his contract, you can hold out for that for sure.
I guess.
I don't know if he's on the end of his contract, but I mean, Gabriel is 23 years old. he'll be 24 this year. I mean, that's a very young for a striker, and I think they bought him for even more than that. than 30, 40. So I think they're going to be wanting at least 50 from him, I think. I feel like he was bought for $33 million plus add-ons. So
and he hasn't really lived up to
he hasn't potential. No, I agree.
So that's but why also, I say that's yeah, why I say yeah. I don't know if he's gonna get 50.
True.
So
true.
That's but, my you know, that's my take on it. And then Aguero, you know, he's coming off the ACL. Gabriel
Jesus out of Arsenal. Oh my goodness.
I don't know.
I think he's a very good striker for his age. For 24 years,
I don't think he's bad.
I think he's in a bad system. I think he's in a system at City that doesn't suit him at all. I think
he needs to do a little bit better because he has the best players around him.
Correct, but sometimes players are in a system that doesn't suit them. City is a very different, serious style where Pep wants his strikers to do a lot. And when Aguero obviously is what 35 now or something like that, right? He's in his 30s now, so he maybe can't do the things that he wants him to do. But I mean, they have to be super good in possession. And then Gabriel Jesus is a 9. He's not really like a false 9. He's not a guy that's going to be super great in possession. I think he wants to be in a box. He wants to poach. He wants to get on the end of things. And I think City, you need more than that. Which is kind of shown with their formation, with what they went through yesterday with us or on Sunday with us. And they played a 4-3-3, Ederson in goal, Cancelo on the right, Stones and Ruben Diaz, which both were immense on the day, Zinchenko on the left, and then the midfield of KDB, Fernandinho, and Gundogan. KDB, his first game back in some time, he just came off of injury. I was surprised that he got the start over Foden, but I guess they were resting Foden for the Champions League. Because he didn't even feature. Did they make one sub? They made one sub.
Yeah, they made one sub the whole game. Oh my God. Crazy. And it was De Bruyne because he just came back from injury.
Yes. And then the front three of Mahrez on the right, Sterling on the left, who got the goal, and Bernardo Silva at the false 9. And
De Bruyne was the highest, I thought. Well, no, I guess they intertwined. Yeah, I guess.
It ended up being Bernardo Silva because
you're right.
Deeper in as the game progressed. They thought De Bruyne was playing the false 9, and Silva was there. I think NBC had that, but they had it wrong. It ended up being Bernardo Silva from what I saw. Subsequently came out with a different formation, 4-2-3-1, with Leno in goal.
Keep going. I'll say it after.
Leno in goal, Tierney on the left, Bellerin on the right, and Holding and Mari, the two central center back roles. Very surprised to see Mari come back into the team after being injured for some time, but I was assuming that would be rest and rotate anyways. To maybe hold David Luiz and Gabriel out for the Benfica game, although I did think one of them would feature, but with Rob Holding's record, I think Rob had played very decent against City in the FA Cup, the one at the semifinal, I think it was, that we beat them.
Yeah.
So yep. Maybe he was going with that. But Pablo, you know what's funny? Pablo has played a handful of games for us, and he's played against City twice. In like the 6 games he's played for us over in the last year. And so I guess maybe because that's his former team, maybe Arteta thought that, you know, it'd be better to play him. Or maybe he just wanted to match their, you know, because apparently Pablo, outside of David Luiz, Pablo's probably our best ball playing center back, right? So.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I guess that's what he decided to go with. Interesting, though, nonetheless. A double pivot, it's probably the most interesting, of Xhaka and Elneny. As pretty much as 2 sixes, and then you had Saka on the left, Pepe on the right, Odegaard in the 10, and Aubameyang starting up front. What do you think about this formation?
When I first saw it, I was actually, like you said, I was pretty surprised, but then I actually started to think about it, and it was clear that he was rotating the squad because he wanted to rest everybody for the Europa League game.
For the cup final on Thursday.
Yeah, that's how we got to treat it technically.
Yeah, but, for sure. Definitely.
I was surprised because I thought he would have kept out Holding, mm-hmm. and put in Luiz.
Yeah.
and kept the pairing of Holding and Gabriel for the game on Thursday against Benfica. But that's why I was a little surprised. But yeah, it clearly was a rotated side. It was good to see Tierney, you know, getting back, getting some minutes under his belt. But yeah, for sure. you could tell he was out for a little while. Yeah. He definitely
he had looked a little game bit wind against with Mahrez too.
Mahrez
kind of tough. Yeah. Mahrez is one of the best strikers in the Premier, one of the best wide players in the Premier League. So it's
but I will say though, he struggled in the beginning, but once he started to get into the game, he actually started to play very well because Mahrez actually had to start dropping back because he was very dangerous making those runs.
Yeah, forward. The runs. Correct. I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
Obviously, we didn't capitalize on any of them, but him getting forward and him, you know, getting back to his old self was definitely good to see. So other than the, you know, the beginning where Mahrez was, I think Mahrez literally went at Tierney. I think they said he touched the ball and he had like seven dribbles at Tierney in like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, and that was the plan.
It was crazy. Definitely. I mean, I don't blame them because you obviously got somebody that's, you know, just coming back from well, I don't even want to say he was injured. They just say he was like pretty
resting
from fatigue. Yeah.
And so, I think that's what's gonna happen with Tierney. I think a lot of it is gonna be they're gonna be a lot of rest, which is why I think Cedric is important to the team. But you need to get another wing back because Bellerin's kind of injury prone himself. So it's gonna be a lot of rest and rotate for Tierney. I think that because he's had an injury record at Celtic as well, and although he's only 23, we use him a lot. He does a lot. He covers a lot of ground. He defends a lot. And
he's up and down.
He's one of our main sources of attack. So yeah. I think that becomes an issue because when we're too dependent on our wingbacks to do overloads, we're too dependent upon, you know, Bellerin and Tierney having to defend. And I think that was the reason why Pep had decided to go with the false nine, to have an extra midfielder there, to have Bernardo Silva drop. And you're basically playing with Sterling, who cuts inside as an auxiliary striker in a sense, and Mahrez, who was trying to keep Kieran Tierney from going forward by pinning him back, right? And that worked within the first 2 minutes of the game. They scored.
Which is crazy, man.
A ball so played poor. Out to Mahrez, and he made a cross, turned on Tierney, made a cross, and beat the ball beats Rob Holding, and Sterling, the smallest player in the box, gets a header to it, and Arteta made a comment after the game and said that tactically we got something wrong that we were supposed to do we were supposed to have done, and I think. Personally, I don't know for sure. This is all purely subjective. I think the plan was to have Saka not only nullify Cancelo going forward, but to help. Either Saka or Xhaka was supposed to help Tierney with Mahrez. Just like how Pepe, every time Pepe went down, in their half of the field, Zinchenko always had help. It looked like Zinchenko pocketed Pepe for the game because he didn't do much. But in actuality, Gundogan and Sterling were always tracking back. I've seen Sterling make a 30-40-yard run to track back and help Zinchenko with Pepe because Pepe barely ever had Zinchenko one-on-one. It was always a second defender. And I think that was what the plan was when having Elneny and Pepe on the right to sort of help out Bellerin with Sterling. And not even so much Pepe. I think it's mainly Elneny because Pepe was really the outlet for us, right? Pepe and Aubameyang were supposed to be the two outlets. Saka was the one that kind of tucked in to help defensively with Tierney. And I think that's what happened in the first goal. Mahrez ended up going 1v1 with Tierney. And I didn't see Xhaka, didn't see Saka at all. Saka got there kind of late. And by time they turned on his left foot, he made the cross. It was too late. And I think that may have been what Arteta was talking about with what we got wrong. I think the plan was definitely to have Xhaka and Saka help Tierney with Mahrez. I don't think he would have thrown Tierney out there to just be 1v1 with Mahrez in the first place. So 1-0, the first 2 minutes of the game. And I'm thinking it's going to be 4 and 5s. I'm like, oh, this is reminiscent of what was it, last year when City beat us right before Arteta became our manager, and KDE almost had a hat trick in the first half of the game. I was hoping it didn't look anything like that. And to be fair, it wasn't. City weren't at the races. You could tell they were half speed. It's pretty crazy how they only had one sub the entire game. But Zinchenko, I think Mendy, has Zinchenko been starting in Champions League for them? Or has it been Mendy? I know he's been playing more.
No, I think Mendy's hurt, so I think it has been.
But
I think
he's on the bench today, so maybe.
Well, he probably just got back, but.
Yeah, or he may have been playing on the left because Kyle Walker is still out there, too. He didn't play. Foden definitely starts. Rodrigo definitely starts. I think Laporte has been playing too. So, I mean, they rotated for sure. Most of the rest of those guys, because KDB hasn't played. So, you know, they definitely rotated and were able to really just.
Well, actually, it was Ake before he got hurt.
Ah, yes. Ake had been playing.
That's crazy.
Damn, they have so many players, bro. This is ridiculous.
It's crazy.
A whole different
team.
Yeah,
so it was Mendy at first, and then Mendy got hurt, and then Ake started to start, and then.
It's ridiculous. And then, against Gladbach in the first leg, they played. Is it the first leg? Have they played the first leg yet? Oh, they didn't play the first leg yet.
This is the first leg.
Ah, okay, gotcha. So they were resting for the first leg.
Because I was going to say, before that, you know, you remember Champions League took a big, it had like a big break, I guess you can say.
Yeah, the winter break.
So,
but even when against Everton in their last big game, Jesus started, Cancelo was on the left, Kyle Walker was on the right, and Laporte was playing center back. So I think that was their lineup, and then they usually have Rodrigo, Phil Foden, and Bernardo Silva, and then they'll have Sterling, Mahrez, and Jesus, or they'll put Phil in the false nine and drop one of their other 8 million center mids to play there.
Well, so, when they play Tottenham, Zinchenko was at left back, and Cancelo was on the right. Laporte and Stones. Yeah,
they have a player for pretty much every position. They have at least two players in every position. And this is a team that's built to win big trophies. Definitely.
Yeah, but when you spend 400-500 mil like every two summers on defenders, true.
It could happen. Meanwhile, Arteta's asking for peanuts. You know what I'm saying? We can't even get that. But that's neither here nor there, right? So the game ended at 1-0. I mean, really, we didn't have much chances. I mean, I don't remember us having a bunch of big chances. Saka played very well. I think if you want to say he may have been our man of the match, I guess you could say that. And it's been kind of that way for some time now. Poor game by Aubameyang, which I always thought it would be. I think the biggest thing for me is if you are going to set up to play counter-attacking football, or if you're set up, I mean, they're kind of set up man-to-man to defend them man-to-man, but when we attacked, we definitely looked like we were trying to counter. We definitely looked like Pepe and Aubameyang were trying to be our outlets because they had a front-line pressure. They had front-line press. They pressed on every goal kick I've seen. I saw Mahrez, Silva, and Sterling on the 18-yard line, like the 18-yard box, just on top of it because they did not want us to play out the back. So when we did go long, we'd go long to either Tierney or Saka or Aubameyang. It just didn't work as our outlets. Or sometimes when we did break their press, we were trying to go, you know, go with speed, trying to make runs behind with Aubameyang and Pepe. We just couldn't get them the ball. And Aubameyang, when he did get the ball, or when we asked for him to hold up play with his back to goal, we all know that's not his game. So I was surprised. Yep. I thought maybe he would start Lacazette up top, play Aubameyang on the left, and play Saka on the right, or even play Saka in the midfield, play a midfield three, just go 4-3-3, right? And go Lacazette up top, Aubameyang on the left, Pepe on the right, and play three midfielders, play Saka in the 10, or play Saka deeper as an 8. And play Nani and Xhaka, you know. I was surprised with how he included. And Odegaard didn't play bad either, but it's just a lot of chasing, right? It's a lot of chasing.
Yeah. I also think we could have done a better job getting him into the game.
Yeah, but it's difficult. It's difficult when you don't have the ball. I mean, we had 40% possession, which was more than normal against City, but majority of that possession's in our half of the field. So what can you do, right? It's difficult. It's very difficult when and I look at the action zones and it's still we did the same thing. Overloads. On the left side it was Tierney, Saka, Aubameyang. On the right side you saw Pepe, Odegaard and Bellerin. It was the same overloads and that's we still have an issue with our center mids and it's difficult because, you know, Danny Ceballos played so well against Benfica, but you know you had to rest him, and he came in and played the last, 10 minutes maybe? Same thing with Smith Rowe, or last, 5 to 10 minutes. It's difficult because we need an 8. We really do need an 8. Somebody that's going to go up and down the whole game. And Ceballos, we talked about the 20 to 22 million that he's been that price, the 22 million price tag that Madrid has allegedly set. And I don't think that's a bad price for him. I just think we need better. I think if we signed an Awar or a box-to-box guy or maybe a Sabitza or somebody like that, and we had the money left over, I would say, yeah, sign Ceballos too. Maybe sell Ainsley Maitland-Niles at that point or sell, tell Joe Willock to go on, put Joe Willock on loan again for another year, something yeah. like that. But it's a glaring hole when you see City's midfield, even though they had an extra man. I mean, they just walked right through us, and most of the game, it was their center backs. It was City's center backs that just would bypass our entire midfield. A ball would get played, and it goes straight to Mahrez, straight to Sterling, and we're already on our heels. You know what I mean? It was most of the game was like that. And we don't have that center mid guy. And maybe it's because Partey wasn't there. I think maybe Partey would have made a big difference. But it's hard. It's hard to watch when we don't have really any attacking options in that central role outside of Odegaard. And he's not ours, right? He's really not ours. He's Madrid's product. And I don't think Madrid's going to sell him to us anytime soon. So I think we really need – I think that's probably our biggest need in the summer is getting a center back and getting another center mid to pair either with Partey, which doesn't mean we have to sell Xhaka. I don't think that necessarily means that. But we're too dependent on guys that are a bit one-dimensional. I think we're too dependent on our overloads with our wingbacks. And Tierney is a decent wingback. But he's not amazing on the ball. He's not Cancelo on the ball, right? We know that. But he's good. He's good enough. But we can't lean on him. He's not Marcelo on the ball. He's not Alaba or Davies on the ball. And Bellerin, I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like with him losing that step, I think we all know that's true, right? He's lost a step. His speed is gone. And maybe it's because of... Or the speed he used to have is gone. Maybe because of the surgeries, probably. But Bellerin has never been amazing on the ball either. He's okay. But Bellerin's not a guy that's going to go down the line and dribble two, three players and connect. He's okay on the ball. But his speed was always his MO. And without that speed, especially playing the fullback role, without the speed to make up, you see Bellerin getting caught out a lot, bro, a lot. He's not an amazing one-on-one defender. He's not an amazing final ball passer. He can do it. He's not amazing at it.
Yeah,
so I agree. I think at this point, he's a great player. I think he's a solid player. But for what we are asking of our wingbacks, we don't have either wingback that's really good enough to go. He's not Trent Arnold. Let's put it that way. He's not him. He doesn't make passes like that. He's not. I think he's a full level below Trent Arnold. So Trent Alexander Arnold. So and Tierney, I don't think is a full level below the best left backs in the Premier League. I think he's right up there. But the usage rate that we the way we use him, the way he has to attack and defend, it's going to cause more injuries. It's going to cause more fatigue. We need to be able to change our game to where if it doesn't work with the overloads, what's plan B? And I've been asking that for a while. What is plan B? You know, Emery did the same thing with the overloads too as well. Freddie did the same thing when he was here. So it leads me to believe that all our coaches have been doing the same thing because we have the same players, right? When three different coaches that do have three different footballing philosophies have all come to Arsenal and we seem to be playing the same way, that leads me to believe that they don't have confidence in us playing really much differently, because we don't have the players to do that, to manifest that philosophy. But I digress again. Let's move on, I guess, to the Benfica game, which happened prior to the City game, but we wanted to talk about Benfica so we can do the preview and the review. The review and the preview of the game tomorrow. So we tied Benfica in the first leg 1-1. The game was played in Italy, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Was it Italy? I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Due to COVID restrictions that could not allow us to travel to Portugal. Is the second leg is playing here though, right? The second leg will be in not here, but at the Emirates, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's
none of the games are here.
Okay.
Because the travel restrictions.
Yeah, the travel restrictions.
For the UK, I think are
gotcha.
A little bit different right gotcha. Now. So
gotcha. Okay. So Benfica, who you know, that is a tricky outfit, a tricky opponent, because
they got some good players.
They have some very good players. Very good players. They haven't been doing great in the Portuguese league, if I'm not mistaken. I think Porto and Sporting have gotten the better of them. But some decent players. Rafa, PZ. I mean, there's a couple guys there that are good. They came out, it looked like a back three. It could have been a back five. I think she probably was a back five because Grimaldo's a left back who's playing basically left wing back. But who scores has it as a back three? So the back line was the goalkeeper and Late, I think his name. And they actually have a very Premier League based center back line. Jan Vertonghen was playing center back with Otamendi paired.
Yep.
And Verissimo was the right center back. And then the left wing back was Grimaldo, who's actually a very, very good left back. Very highly sought after left back. Goncalves on the right, PZ, who I spoke about, who scored the penalty for them, Weigl, who was a former Dortmund player, if I'm not mistaken, and yeah. Tarabat too. So I mean, these are guys that are known European players. You know, like these are definitely guys that Jorge Jesus has put together. And then the front line of Nunes and Walsh-Smith.
He's actually
not bad too. This is actually a decent number 10 as well. And we lined up with, and I think they had Everton come off the bench, right? Who's yeah. also a player that we were looking at, and Rafa as well. So we lined up with the same 4-2-3-1, Leno in goal, Bellerin on the right, David Luiz paired with Gabriel, and Cedric on the left. And then the double pivot of Ceballos and Xhaka, Saka on the right, Odegaard in the 10, and Smith Rowe on the left with Aubameyang up top. And again, a very cagey affair at first. Both teams looked like they were trying to kind of mark their stamp on the game. We had a possession, I think, 59% to their 41%. And early on in the first half, we had a golden opportunity. I don't know, remember what minute it was, but 17th minute. Yes. Cedric. And Danny Ceballos, by the way, I think may have been the man of the match outside of Saka. If Saka hadn't gotten the goal, he pulled the strings all game.
Yeah. He was playing some very good passes.
Very spraying them left, right, middle. I mean, he was spraying them, and he found a great ball to Aubameyang that had had the, you know, him and God alone. And
Bellerin made that run from Bellerin was really good.
Yes, too. Good run too as well.
Aubameyang got to finish.
He's got to finish that, man. On his left. I know it's no excuse, even though it is on his left.
I'm not. There's no excuse. No excuse. I don't care.
Yeah, no excuse.
You're too good of a striker to.
And we know if this was Lacazette, I mean, he would have been on a crucifix, right? I mean, like if that had that been Lacazette or Eddie Nketiah or any about, he would have been. They would have killed him for that. So he's got to finish. He's got to finish that. Has to 100%.
It's crazy because he actually had like maybe three really good chances this game, and he didn't,
and he didn't
put them away.
Yes, and it, towards it, the end of the game too, which we'll get to. You know, he had some chances, but as we go into halftime, 0-0, it looked like we had full control of the game. I would say, and then second half, they get a penalty off of an Emile Smith Rowe handball, which again is just. It's like what is he supposed to do there? Honestly, what is he supposed to do? The ball, I mean, he's in a position where he's not even looking. Like the ball, like his hand's in an unnatural position, but like, I mean, I've seen those penalties not be called before. And I get the letter of the law. I get it. And you know, we're just unlucky because we're always on the wrong side of the letter of the law. But like, what is he supposed to do there? I mean, like, it's unnatural to defend with your hands down, first of all, right? It's unnatural. Yep. Yeah, that is an unnatural thing to do. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's unlucky. And Leno almost got the penalty, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he guessed the right side. Yeah, he almost. I think he got like his fingertips to it.
Yeah,
just couldn't.
Yeah, couldn't convert it. And then shortly after that, Cedric Suarez, who has, I mean, since he's featured with us, hasn't played terrible. Plays a beautiful cross to Saka to finish, who has been our player of the season so far. If I may say so myself, makes it 1-1. And towards the end of the game, Aubameyang gets a breakaway. I don't want to say a breakaway because the defender was right behind him, but yeah, pretty much a 1v1 situation on his left foot where you expect him to at least put the ball on target. He tries to chop it back to his right foot, and the defender cuts it out. And I think that was just a ominous representation of the day.
Yeah.
Definitely just not his day. And I think we tried to put Lacazette on late, and it just, you know, it didn't work out. Oh, no, it wasn't Lacazette. We forgot who we put on. We put on some players late to try to chase the game at the end, and it just didn't look good, man. It didn't look good. We just weren't convincing enough. And now playing that second leg away from home, at a neutral site again is going to be a tricky affair. The field definitely, the conditions looked super wet. The ball looked really wet a whole time, and the grass is always wet there. But it just, the conditions also didn't look like some of the players were getting on the ball the way that they should have. And it's just difficult. It's a difficult situation, but it's for both sides, right? Not just for us, right?
Yeah.
So, what do you think about the game in general?
It was a game that we should have taken.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is what it is. We have to bounce back. It's tough because we love to make things harder than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a part of our problem. But like I said, we, you know, kind of gotta figure it out now, because if this is kind of it for us.
Yo, this is it. This is a cup final for sure.
This is definitely
a cup final.
If we don't win this game, this our season is
done.
Another failure.
So honestly, can I ask you this question? Because I know this, and I don't even want to really ask you this question because I think your answer is going to be similar to mine. If we do lose to Benfica tomorrow, or let's say that, you know, we tie 2-2 or we're out, and the year finishes, we're not in the top six, we end up ninth. Is Arteta on the hot seat?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think he is, because I ain't gonna lie. Like, yes, the players, you know, obviously are the ones playing, but I do think he is to blame for some of the losses just because of his poor man management.
Mm-hmm.
But he has us, you know, going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain things that he can't be stubborn with, that he also needs to get better with,
yeah,
in order to, you know, kind of keep his progression going as well, because there's some things that he does and then you're just like, okay, why?
Yeah.
You're kind of, you saw what the previous managers were doing and you're kind of, you know, falling right back into the same situations and you're not doing anything to kind of, you know, help yourself. So it's like there are certain things that he needs to get better at. But I will say he does have us you know, going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that as like a club as a whole, you know, we're making certain changes, we're, you know, starting to do certain things way better. Mm-hmm. So that I always will give him his credit for, but at the end of the day, we're a big club, so it's always going to have to come to an end when you're not, you know, producing
mm-hmm.
and you say XYZ and you're not, you know, getting the end result.
Gotcha.
So I definitely would give him his credit, but hey, we are a big club and we have to see results. This has been a very long time
mm-hmm.
since we have been, you know, at the top.
I agree with
so,
that.
That's my point for it.
I think that any manager that doesn't reach his goals, his season goals, are gonna be on the hot seat to some extent.
Yeah.
And I think the goal this season was to at least reach the top five, was to try to push for top four. But was to try and reach the top five or get to the finals or win Europa League. So anyhow that doesn't happen, yes, you have to evaluate it and say what decisions were made to for us to not get to that point. With that being said, I think it's a very I don't think it's a similar situation with Emery, where Emery was brought in as a stopgap manager and was brought in mainly to win Europa League, it looked like. Which is why he prioritized the Europa League towards the end of that first season when we lost in the finals. He ended up getting us to the finals, and we were 1 point out of top four, which had a lot to do with him mismanaging players towards the end of the season, but also had a lot to do with our players dropping points and our players not really playing to their full ability. I remember correctly. Us dropping points to teams we shouldn't have been dropping points to, and I think that's the same thing. I think that's cognizant of our season this year too as well. And I think again, two different managers, two different styles of play. I think Arteta is definitely clearly the better manager for our club at our current position than I think Emery was. But with that being said, you can only do so much with what you have. And I think with Arteta, being that this is his first managerial position, he's gonna make mistakes. Some that you expect, some that you maybe don't expect, but he's gonna make mistakes. And I think that if you're not going to back Arteta in the market, the way that Klopp got backed, the way that Pep got backed, the way that even United with Ole is sort of getting back to an extent. If you're not going to back Chelsea, if you're not going to back him, then we shouldn't be comparing him to those clubs, because those clubs that are big clubs, we're a big club. If you're not going to treat him like a big club manager, then can we expect big club results? That's my only concern, because I don't think it's fair to say, you know, well, he's on a hot seat. Because, you know, like Lampard, for instance, Lampard had gotten everything he was supposed to get from Chelsea and did not perform. He mismanaged the players. They spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on these guys, and he underperformed. Now, if Arteta gets that same type of squad that he wants, and then we do the same thing Chelsea had did, then yeah, I would say he's on a hot seat, and yeah, maybe he should be judged that way. But we can't say that. We can't say we're a big club and he's a big manager and we should be expecting results when our roster and our mismanagement of contracts and our mismanaging of the market and our loan deals are not cognizant of that. It's not conducive of that. You know? So if that's the case, then we need to really evaluate what Edu is doing, what the board wants us to do, and figure that out. Now, with that being said too as well, we have finally made the first big step towards getting Arteta, backing Arteta, which was getting rid of the dead weight at the club. And I think that was the huge, huge thing for us in January, was to get rid of the dead weight and maybe loan one or two guys that can help us win. And I think we did that. So now this summer, regardless of where we are, we would like to be, you know, a Europa League champion and get a, you know, take the back door into Champions League, which would help us fund more transfers and help us be more attractive as a destination for players. Sure. But if that doesn't happen, we still need to back him. We still need to be able to give him the money and say, hey, this is where we're at. We want you to push Champions League next year. So this is what we need. If this is what's required for you to go do that, here, take it. Here's $150 million. Go find four players. That's going to help you do that. Get rid of the dead weight. You know what I mean? And I think that is where
we... And add on to what I was saying as well. And this is what I think he gets his... Like, him and Edu get their praise for. They started to... I mean, obviously, when they first got here, they started to shed some of the dead weight. Little mm-hmm. by little, it wasn't much. I think it was maybe like one player, two players. But now, this window, you see we got rid of three or four players that were on huge wage bills.
That's exactly what I mean. That's the dead
weight, for sure. I think that's where they, you know, kind of get the praise.
Yeah, definitely.
But now...
that's half of it. That's the first
step. There you go. That's the first step. So yep, now it's who you... Yeah, now mm-hmm. it's like... I want to put them in the hot seat, but like now is kind of where they really can.
They need the backing. You need the backing now.
Yes. This is where and kind of where you can, you know, mm-hmm. for them to put their foot on what they're trying to do.
Gotcha.
Now that they kind of got, you know, the Mkhitaryan was the first one that they got rid of. And he was mm-hmm. on a huge wage bill. And then this summer or this winter break, it was Socrates, it was Mustafi, it was Ozil, mm-hmm. it was Kolasinac.
Mm-hmm. Kolasinac. And then $1 million worth of wages cleared.
So exactly. So now it's nice to see those players. You know, obviously, I hope the best for them.
I hope the best for all of them, for sure.
It you know, obviously, as a fan, when your time is up, unfortunately, your time is up. Yep. So. Hopefully they do well at their clubs that they're at now, but now it's time for us to kind of renew and kind of rejuvenate Arsenal Football Club mm-hmm. because we have been a laughingstock for the last few years, man, and it's time for us to make a name for ourselves again mm-hmm. and kind of remind everybody that we are a big club. And
for sure, 100%.
It shouldn't be how it is.
100%.
So that's why I say they got rid of some of the dead weight. They still have some more to go, but we are headed in the right direction. So it's a starting spot, and I just want to see. I'm hoping, you know, I'm praying that we can somehow win Europa League, so that we can really. Because if we get Champions League, I think it will be a huge stepping stone in the direction we're trying to go.
What that does is it circumvents the whole process, because now this 2-year process to get us in Champions League becomes a 1-year process, and now we're, you know, and we're already ahead of the curve at that point. We're a lot further into the rebuild at that point. And I agree with you 100%. So hopefully we'll see, man. So the preview, real quick, I think about 10 minutes left. Do you think he's coming out with the same team against Benfica? Or do you what changes? You don't have to give me the full 11, but what changes do you think he makes? I think I'd say maybe Cedric for Tierney would probably be the first one.
Yeah, I agree. I will say Cedric for Tierney, even though Cedric's I wouldn't mind
Yeah, he hasn't been playing good.
Cedric on the right.
I wouldn't mind him. Well, I think Bellerin's going to keep his spot there. But I wouldn't mind Tierney staying in, man. Give him some minutes. But I do think I honestly think Tierney will keep his position, and Cedric will hold the bench. Back in
training, by the way,
he was gonna be my next one. I was reading today that today was his last. He had like his last fitness test today to see if he was in contention. I think if he is fit, he starts.
Now, because do we want to do the same thing that we got?
I know.
That's the big question.
That's a different story. That's a different story. I think he makes that decision and he starts him, because without Partey, we are a different team.
And I guess it is two different situations too, because North London Derby is one thing, but we had the rest of the season. So had we lost North London Derby, which happened. It didn't kill us too bad, because it was earlier on the season. This is our season right now,
and that's why I say if he is fit and he's in contention, he plays.
Maybe he should.
Because at the end of the day, even if he plays and he gets his 70 minutes and he comes off, mm-hmm. I think he won't even play this weekend, to where he gets his rest, or he comes off the bench this weekend, mm-hmm. and so that way. But if he doesn't,
Partey and Ceballos
or Xhaka, I'm playing Xhaka. I'm playing.
It's rough on Ceballos, man. That's right. He's our best player last game.
Yeah, but the best pairing that we have right now is those two.
Yeah, so. I agree with you, but I. It's hard for me to say no to that. And maybe you put Ceballos in a 10? Or maybe you just play a flat 3. I think you play a flat 3.
Nah.
All right, go. I might as well do this now. So give me your 11 then. Give me your 11 and then I'll take the 11.
Well, obviously Leno. I'm going to go Tierney on the left, Gabriel on the left, center back. David Luiz on the right, center back. Mm-hmm. And then Bellerin on the right. I'm going to go Partey, Xhaka. Obviously, this is if everybody's fit and ready to go. Partey, Xhaka. And then at the 10, I'm going to go Smith Rowe. On the left, I'm going to go Aubameyang. On the right, I'm going to go Saka. Up top, I'm going to go Lacazette.
Okay. That's interesting. I think the back line for me is the same. Back four with Leno in goal. I think I'm going to go – I would go flat midfield. I'll go flat 3 midfield. I would go Partey. I would go Xhaka in the center, Partey in the center, Xhaka on the left, Danny Ceballos in the right center mid. And that gives them more space to move around. I would go – Aubameyang on the left, Saka on the right, and Lacazette up top. That's what I would do. I think Emile Smith Rowe and Odegaard have been good, but they've also been. I think they both need some time. I think we're shoehorning them in because they've been good, but you also have to remember they're both young players. They're both, and I think in this game, I think you have to go with veterans. And I think that's why that midfield for me would be three guys that have been here. And well, Partey hasn't been here, but a veteran in it nonetheless. And with Ceballos, I don't see us benching Ceballos. I think he's been the last 2 weeks, I think he's been our best center mid. And I think with the space that Benfica gave him, he's going to be able to pick passes out. I think he just needs somebody behind him to help him track. And so he can push forward a bit more. So I wouldn't put him in the 10 because I don't think Arteta plays him in the 10 anymore. But I would play a flat midfield 3 and just go 4-3-3 and then put
go ahead.
And then put I think at that point you have Saka who's on the right, but he's really going to be cutting in. You know what I'm saying? And playing more as a auxiliary 10, like a false 10 in a sense. And I think we go with that. I would like to see that,
at least. I think he
I think he actually really likes that front four.
Yeah, he does.
And
he does.
And he the does. only difference for me would be the Partey coming in.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
I'm obviously that's the lineup I want to see.
Yeah, I think they'll end up playing it, to be honest with you. Either Odegaard or Smith Rowe in the 10. I think those are being interchangeable. I think he will start them, but actually I don't know. He hasn't started Lacazette. Lacazette hasn't gotten a start in.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he likes the young front four
with Aubameyang because
but they the do only work better with the Aubameyang. Only difference would be Partey.
Yeah.
In that midfield three.
Yeah, true.
But I honestly I want to see obviously the formation that I said, but I think he will keep the front four.
Yeah.
Cuz he rested all of them, most of them.
Most of them.
And I think he just likes how they play so free flowing. So
true, agreed.
Like you said, Lacazette hasn't been starting, which is kind of weird. But I think he likes the front four.
Yeah, me too.
And if Partey's healthy, obviously he automatically comes back into the lineup. But
exactly.
That's my take on it, to be honest with you. So what do you think? What's your score? What's your score prediction?
Oh man, I think 2-0 to the Arsenal. I think 2-0. I think Aubameyang gets on the score sheet because I think this game is going to be a game that we're going to be relying heavily on him, and I think he's going to want to get there. I think he's frustrated right now that he hasn't been scoring outside that Leeds game, and it's two games where he's missed. Where one game he was a shell of himself in City, and the other game he, you know, with Benfica, the first leg where he just missed chances. I think he gets a goal. I think if Lacazette starts, I think he gets a goal. If he doesn't, I think the second goal will go to Saka.
Okay. I have a minus 3-0.
Oh, damn.
I have.
It's not being modest.
I have Aubameyang getting two, and I have Smith Rowe getting another one.
Got it. Okay, sounds good, man. Well, we hope. We'll hope for that. I was gonna do a Leicester preview, but I mean, at this point, I think you know we'll let that go. I think the game's on Sunday. If it's on Sunday, we may be able to sneak in a preview before then. If not, we'll just do a review in the following week, and hopefully by then we'll have a Benfica win. And an advancement into the round of 16 in the Europa League. But
yeah, that sounds good to me.
Gotta hope for the best. But again, thank you guys for listening. Episode 15 of SFG Podcast. If you've gotten this far, you are a real one. I appreciate all the feedback. Again, it has been a humbling experience to see so many people. Reach out and tell me how much they like the show and how much they like the pod and outside of just friends and family. So that's really cool. And if you guys have any suggestions, again, you can always reach out to us at sfgpodcast4@gmail.com or our Instagram at sfgpodcast. Or is it SFG Gooners? I think it's just SFG Gooners, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, you can reach us out. You can reach out to us on Twitter as well. We're on Twitter now, which we should be a little bit more active on. But we are on Twitter as well. So you guys can reach out to us there or on Insta or on Spotify as well. We are on Spotify. On Twitter, we are at SF Gooners4 on Twitter, just as a FYI. And on Instagram, we are at sfgooners4 as well on Instagram. So again, I appreciate you boys and girls for all that you guys have done to support the pod. We appreciate that. Hopefully next time we speak will be a Benfica win and an advancement to the Europa League round of 16.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, definitely, man. Well, have a good day everyone, and peace.
Yes,
and
definitely, thank you guys again for listening. See you guys. Peace.